Obrigada.
Do we have anyone else on the line?
Hi, Adrian. Eric.
Hi, Eric. How are you?
That's great. How are you?
Okay.
Good to hear.
Yes, hello. Hello, Adrian. This is Terry Chapman.
Okay, great. Hang in. We're going to wait until a few more people get on.
Sure, absolutely. Glad to be here.
And hi,
thank
this
you.
Is Catherine Bouvray.
Hello, Catherine.
Hello. Hi, Adrian. It's Ralph.
Hi, Ralph.
How's it going?
It's fine. We're going to wait a few minutes so a few more people get on. It looks like we're going to have about 30 people on the line today.
Hello, Adrian. This is Bonnie Holcomb.
Who, Bonnie?
Yes.
Hi, Bonnie. How are you?
Just fine, thanks. My husband, Gary, is here, too.
Okay, good.
And Luann Brown.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Luann Brown. I'm here for Bill Haig.
Okay, wonderful. I hear a lot of people beeping in. Please let us know you're here.
Hi, it's Mary Ellen.
Hi, Mary Ellen. Anyone else who came on?
I'm an Adrian.
Hi, Adrian.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Norman Levy.
Hello, Norman Levy.
Hi, Adrian. It's Michael Lammensdorf.
Hi, Michael. Are you alone, Michael? Or have you got Kathy with you?
Yeah, Kathy's here as well.
Good.
Adrian, this is Florence. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hello, Florence.
I thought I
Are you still in Las Vegas?
In Colorado Springs now.
Okay, great.
Morning.
Hello. I've got 1 minute to seven. Paris time. Does anyone have a different time?
It's close enough for government work.
Okay, I'm going to give it just a few more minutes until everybody comes in, okay?
Right. Put it on mute.
Who just came on?
It's Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hey, Adrian. How are you?
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you. Am I late?
Looks like we've got about 15 people on, something like that.
Hello.
You want us to mute?
You can if you like.
Okay.
I'm just waiting for a few more people to come on before I start.
All right.
Who came on? Hello.
Hello, Adrian. This is Christina Gore.
Hi, Christina. Okay, I'm going to start slowly, and as people come in, hopefully they'll let us know. We have on the phone today with me John Rule, who's our mortgage and rental manager, and Mary Ellen Gallagher, who's our search consultant. And I have asked both of them to interject whenever they want to include information that I might not be giving forth, as well as answering some of your questions. And what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about forecasting French property for 2009. The way it's going to work is I'll make a brief presentation, probably about 15 or 20 minutes, and then we're going to open it up to questions. And when you do ask your questions, please just go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from, because it's interesting to everybody. Okay, should we get started? Okay, first of all, I want you to know that what I did was I pulled the latest prices from three different sources. One is from Paris Notaires, another is from the French Notaires, and the other is from a website called lacoteimo.com. So let me give you these web addresses because you can find the most up-to-date prices for Paris and France on these three sites. The Paris Notaire site is www.paris.notaires.fr, and Notaires is spelled N-O-T-A-I-R-E-S. The French Notaire site is www.notaires.fr, and the Lacoteimo is lacoteimmo.com. Okay, so you guys can start with that. And before you look at French property prices, I want you to understand how the prices work, because you cannot assume that the figures you're looking at are actually current market prices. You can only use them for trend purposes. For one thing, when you purchase a property, it takes 3 months to closing, and the prices that are recorded only at closing. So when you purchase the property, when you actually made the agreement and signed on the promesse de vente, that was usually about 3 months earlier than the acte de vente. So you're already 3 months behind. Keep in mind that the sales price that is recorded on the deed usually is reduced by the agency commission, because that helps reduce the notaire fees. It can be reduced by an inventory of listed furnishings and built-ins and appliances. There are also under-the-table cash transactions, which is illegal but done. And then keep in mind that there's an average for the entire district, and therefore it could bring the price down. So by the time it's recorded, by the time all these reductions have been made, normally you're looking at the true market value in today's world about 30 to 50% higher than what's recorded on these websites. So the best thing you can do is use them as trends, not as actual. The only way to really get a handle on market prices is by looking at comparables, to compare like product, like properties in the same location, so that you really get a true market value when you're in the market for the property, when you're looking. Okay? All that being said, I also want to keep one really important thing in mind, and that is that the U.S. and France are two entirely different property markets. So whatever's happening in the U.S. right now, you cannot assume the same thing's happening in France. France is a really different situation because, first of all, the banks in France did not take the same risks that U.S. banks took, and therefore aren't in quite the same situation that American banks are in. The French do not live on credit. They don't live on credit cards, they don't borrow lots of money, and they personally are not in the same sort of debt. And remember that they have a huge safety net here. They can't easily lose their jobs, they have Social Security, they have health care. They have an awful lot of backup by the French government so that they're not quite in the same situation as Americans. Now, there is definitely a downturn in the economy here. There's no question about that, and I'm sure all of you saw that there were some huge demonstrations happening last week, which were primarily in protest against some of Sarkozy's policies. But they haven't yet seen the same sort of devastation or crisis that the U.S. has seen. The property market's been really interesting. while France on the whole is down, and it's been down between 3% and 5%, if you go to the notepairs.fr website, you will find a brand new document. It's a PDF document that you can download, print, and of course it's in French. So I'm sorry that it's in French. If you read French, then you're in luck. But you will also see some pretty interesting charts on this document. There's a chart showing France for how prices have evolved for retail apartments, for retail houses, and as well as new builds. And when you look at these charts, you'll notice that while some areas in France are down, other areas are up. So while the entire country is down between 3 and 5% in price, it's not true for all regions. The region that's holding the best is naturally Paris. Paris is up, according to the latest figures, from third quarter 2007 through third quarter 2008 was up 7%, which is still a pretty healthy increase. Prior to that, Paris was up more than 7%. So 7% is actually a low. In fact, for the year prior, it went, let's see, from third quarter 2007, it was at 9%, then it went to 10.4, then down to 9.4, then up to 10, and now it's down to up 7%. So it's still showing an increase. But, of course, this is only through third quarter 2008. Doesn't take into consideration fourth quarter, where we know most of the downturn has happened. Mary Ellen, you're there?
I'm right here.
Okay. Mary Ellen's been on the ground looking at properties, and I've asked her to maybe say a word or two about what she has seen on the Paris property market.
Thanks, Adrienne. What I've seen on the Paris property market is that the outlying areas of Paris and some of the shoulder arrondissements around the center, the price is softening. For people that are interested in an apartment that they might want to live in, there's some fabulous deals coming up now because the price per square meter is really dropping. And but for people that want an investment property that they want to rent, either medium term or as an executive rental, those properties are probably not the most ideal for that business objective. Now, closer into the center of Paris, the properties are maybe slowing a little bit. There's slight shift in most of the arrondissements, maybe 1-3%, which is such a normal variance that it's not that critical a concern. What I do see is that a lot of Parisians, because many of them don't have mortgages, and as Adrienne's pointed out, their financial system operates differently here, are not putting their really prime properties on the market now. And like many of us, they're kind of waiting to see exactly what's going to happen over the next 2-3 months. When a property does come on the market, a good property, for whatever reason, maybe, you know, the same kind of things that affect the rest of us, people have to move or some other situation has come up, we see that it is offered at a good rate and it moves very quickly. So there are still people purchasing properties and there are certainly properties on the market. There aren't the percentage of properties on the market isn't quite... They are quite the high-quality properties that we see normally, and yet there's still a good percentage of them that are really fantastic buys, given that they're a little bit lower per square meter. So that's kind of what we see. People here are anxious to buy, too, so when something good comes up, it's usually gone within a couple of days. When something comes up that's comparable to other things, it might last a while. And then there are a number of properties on the market that probably don't have the same rental potential as most of our clients are interested in. So that's
okay,
what I think.
Great. Thank you. So in essence, what's happening is that there's not a lot of product on the market. the good product on the market is still selling. The good product on the market is still selling fairly close to its original price point. Property that is secondary or not such great quality is showing more of a decrease. Those are the properties if you're interested in living here or for long-term rental purposes might be good bargains. But if what you want is a really good investment property, then it still hasn't gone hugely down in price, and it's probably going to hold its value better than other things. Something that's happening, which is quite amazing, is that not only is the current rate of exchange at a pretty good level, today it's $1.28 to the euro, but the Euribor has gone considerably down, and therefore interest rates are seriously down. The three-month Euribor rate is now at 2.086, or let's say 2.09, which is about the lowest we've ever seen it. And that means that borrowing money is really inexpensive. And contrary to what's happening in the States, the banks here are lending money. So the bottom line is that this could be a very good time to actually make this purchase. We are not seeing much downturn in the way of rentals, and I'd like for John to maybe say a few words about what he's experiencing with our current rental properties.
Thanks, Adrian. Sure thing. Well, we certainly did see a little bit of a tapering off in rental requests in the fall when things really started to heat up in the U.S. People have really kind of come back in the last month or so, and the level of rental requests has greatly increased, certainly since the inauguration. And I think certainly you referred to the strengthening in the U.S. dollar. That certainly helped quite a bit, coming down from 160 not so long ago, several months ago, to, as you say, 128 right now. So really quite impressed with how things have picked up in the last couple of weeks on the rental request side.
Okay, thank you very much. So the bottom line for 2009 is, of course, to everybody's guess, what's going to happen. I feel that the original shock is pretty much over. We've gotten used to the idea that things aren't going to be quite the same, and now that the inauguration's over and we can all get back to business, I believe people will do exactly that. I think they're going to become proactive. And we're going to start to see some movement, more movement of money here. The banks here are ready to do that. The environment is actually really good to make a purchase. The rental market is holding up. Therefore, it's probably better to get in when you can rather than waiting. And, I can speak for all the people that we know who made a purchase this past year or even a couple of years ago who didn't wait and whose property is on the rental market now. I don't know anybody who's unhappy with that. Their money is well invested. The rentals are holding up, and they're not unhappy that they made that investment a while back. I think that when you do go to make a purchase, however, I think it'll be very, very important to be sure that you buy an absolutely top-notch property. Just being a bargain is probably not what I would say is a good thing to look for. The properties that are holding their value well are going to be your best quality properties, and they will hold for a long time to come. And as they say, location, location, location. Look for the trends. Look for properties that are continually increasing in value, and then make sure that it's a good quality property, that it's got the kind of amenities you want, that what we call is sexy, whether it's a view or an elevator or all the things that make it a good rental. And we believe that those properties are going to hold regardless of what's happening all around them, particularly in Paris, where this is a world-class city. There are buyers from all over the world. Visitors, it's the number one tourist location in the world, and you can't go up and you can't go out in Paris. It's a finite situation where there's no glut of properties, and I think that makes a huge difference too. So what's going to happen in 2009? I think we are going to see it's a little bit soft. I think that's going to hold for a while like that, but I have no doubt that in the next year or two it's going to start going back up just as it was on a continuous basis, because we really didn't see anything we could call a bubble. On that note, I'd like to turn it over to questions, and when you do ask your question, please let us know who you are and where you're calling from. Okay.
My name is Christina, and I'm from Wichita, Kansas. And I was
calling Christina.
See your thoughts about an apartment on the Canal San Martin, how you think that would rent.
It's a little bit risky because it's not quite as well known. If it's directly on the canal, then it should do very well. It might have a little bit of a slow start, but then if it's a good apartment, you'll probably build a good return clientele and some good word of mouth, and over a period of 2 to 3 years have a good substantial rental.
If I could add something to that too, it depends upon what kind of rental you're looking for as well, because executive rentals, I would agree completely with what Adrian's saying. What there's a tremendous shortage of in Paris is medium or long-term rentals, and there is a very large American community here that is looking for that kind of a rental too, which is not anything that it's not our first choice at all. But in terms of being able to rent properties in the areas that the kind of area you're talking about, that also might be a market for you.
Oh, thank you.
In fact, it would be a better market because one negative aspect to the Canal San Martin is transportation. It's not directly next to a lot of metros and buses. Therefore, for a tourist who's going in and out, it's probably not all that ideal. It's also difficult to find good properties on the canal, and they're not that cheap.
Christopher here.
Okay.
Hi, Christopher.
Is this a proper venue to talk about financing?
Sure. Ask your question.
Okay. As you know, we have our house in Wasack. But what we're trying to do is set up an arrangement, a RPA, HIFX. Monthly amount taken from our country, United States Bank, deposited euros into our French bank account.
Mm-hmm.
On the internet, IFX website, there is an article by Justin Harris about regular payments abroad plan.
Right.
They state that they show a chart showing that there's no fees, no transfer fees, receiving fees, no commission charges charged on the money exchanged every month. But being in California, for some reason, we cannot do that directly with HIFX in San Francisco. We have to go to the Berkshire branch in London.
Okay.
And the people.
Okay, what?
Pardon me?
I was just going to say that since this is very specific to your situation, I do think it's best if you just jot us off an email, and let's see if we can help you work that out.
All right, I shall. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Ann Williamson here in Dominican Republic. I didn't get the other two website addresses. I only got the first one. I wonder if you could repeat the latter two.
Okay, let me just give them all three to you again. The first one is paris.notaires.fr. The second one is notaires.fr. And the third one is lacoteimo.com, which is lacoteimmo.com.
lacoteimmo.com. Thank you.
Adrian, this is Luann Heinen Brown in Minneapolis. We currently have a two-bedroom, about a 1,200-square-foot flat in the 7th. Which we've owned since 2000 and have never had any trouble renting, half the time anyway, as much as we want to. But we've seen a slowdown in the rental market, and I wondered if you're seeing that or if others are.
Well, I have noticed that other rental agencies are experiencing some slowdown, but we're not having the same slowdown. Now, that could be just because, you know, we offer a very tight little group of properties in very good locations that, you know, make a good showing on the site because they've been very well decorated, and we have, and we promote them well. You know, I don't know how you're marketing your apartment.
Well, it's the same as we've always, you know, marketed it on multiple sites, and we have actually a lot of, historically, we've had a lot of repeat traffic, and I just feel that it's booked in April, but nothing January, February, March, it's really slow.
Where is it located?
Rue de Grenelle in the 7th.
Uh-huh. Do you manage it yourself?
We have a property manager in Paris, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Verbo and the sites like that.
Oh, okay.
We have like an 8-year history, and it's just surprising to me.
You mean that suddenly you're seeing it slow down with your current clientele?
Yeah.
Well, I would recommend that you and John speak, because we're actually looking to carry more apartments on the left bank.
Great.
And our rentals have been pretty solid. We're getting somewhere between 50 and 80% occupancy, depending on the apartment.
Uh-huh. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else?
This is Catherine Bouvray, and I am looking for a second home, not in Paris. And I am in love with two different regions, Burgundy and the Loire Valley. Do you have any advice as to help me narrow that down?
Well, let's just see. Let me look at the charts in front of me to see how they're doing. You want a home, not an apartment, I assume.
Yes, I want a little ancien maison.
Well, the area around in the Loire right now, according to this chart in Tour, is down by 4.5%. So prices are soft there. But they're up in Burgundy. Now, that's just how it's playing out at the moment. See, I think that because the cost of entry on a property in France is high, when you pay 7.5% notaire fees, and because the capital gains tax is such that, you know, you end up paying no capital gains if you've owned it 15 years, that it doesn't make sense to get into anything thinking you're going to flip it. Anything you should buy, you should think you're going to own for at least 10 years. And if you're going to do that, then you're not going to have a problem with, you know, your investment realizing a good return in the end. So it almost doesn't matter.
Okay. What about for rental purposes? We want it to be somewhat of a short-term rental. I would love to be in Yonne, which is near Auxerre, but I don't know outside of Auxerre if it has any rental potential.
Very little.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I mean, I don't think you can count on any property in the countryside, maybe except for in Provence in the summer, to be a good rental.
People who come to France a lot, who would know those areas, are interested in buying their own.
Yeah, exactly.
If they're repeat, you know, and they're in love with the country, as we all are, they're going to figure out a way to buy something because that makes the most financial sense, whether it's a good economy or a bad economy. It, over time, that's what pays out. So people who aren't familiar with France are going to be, there aren't that many that are going to be good renters out in those areas.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, the other good rental areas in the country are in the other major metropolitan areas. Nice is still a good rental, for instance. In fact, I'd like to start a rental program in Nice. I'm going down there this weekend, and I'm going to be looking at some properties.
Mm.
Anybody else?
Adrian, this is Eric Peterson in Atlanta.
Hi, Eric.
Hi. I was wondering, you know, I've always been interested in the Rue de Port-au-Prince. How's that development coming?
The Port-au-Prince right here around the corner from us?
Yes.
I think they're working on a library of some sort there, right?
Yes. And I think it's across the street from there.
It's a beautiful street.
Yeah, so
I don't think you can go wrong anywhere in the Third Arondis Mall, but I might be prejudiced.
Yeah. And then have they started the work on the Carreau du Temple yet?
No, I contend, however, that any property that's directly around the Carreau du Temple is going to just skyrocket in value.
They did use it during Fashion Week, though.
Oh, did they?
And yes, and it
That's
was
right.
fabulous to see some of the glamorous treatment that it was just really the place to be. That whole section of the Third Arrondissement is—it's so fabulous now, and
yeah.
People that live there just adore it.
One of these days, I hope to be one of them.
I hope so too.
Which area is
a pedestrian yet, or is it still traffic?
Which street?
Picardy.
Still cars on it, but not much.
People walk up and down the street there all the time. That whole section of the Marais has such a feeling of pedestrian streets.
Yeah.
And it's as lively as ever.
Well, good.
By the way, in this week's French Property Insider, I put together a chart to compare three different districts, purchasing a rental property in the 6th versus the 3rd versus the 2nd, how much your investment would be, what an average weekly rental rate would be, what we think an occupancy rate, et cetera, and gives you an idea of what the return on investment is. And given the amount of investment, the 3rd arrondissement still comes up on top.
Here's an off-the-wall question. Some of the ads, I see that the boutiques for sale, much less, like 40 square meters for 150,000 euros. Is it illegal to turn one of those into an apartment? Why are they so inexpensive?
No, it's not illegal. You just have to have it rezoned. You have to request a reclassification of the property.
Okay.
And that can be a very complex process.
That could be a very complex process, you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
It can be.
I would say, though, that the notaire can make the request. I don't. It might just take time. But there's an awful lot of property that's being inhabited, you know, that was at one time commercial.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're probably going to be right on the street, though, on the Rue de Chaussée, and then you have to find a way to privatize it.
Oh, yes, that's understandable. I'm not sure this would be a good rental, but it might be a way to get some good space at a lower cost if one wanted to.
Yeah, exactly.
Time. And so I was.
And it probably isn't going to be a good rental.
No, I wouldn't think so, being right on the street like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone wanted to move there just to live there, does anybody do that? Does anybody go through that process? How long does it take? How much money does it cost?
Well, the most ideal situations are the ateliers that are actually on courtyards that then they can become fabulous apartments because you're not exactly right on the street, you're on the courtyard.
Mm-hmm. And do those need to be rezoned as well?
Well, it depends on what it's being used for. If it had been habitation before, then no.
Okay. Okay, well, thank
They're
you.
They're hard to find, though.
Sure they are.
Oh, yes.
Adrian, this is Marilyn. What was the area that I believe it was Eric just a question ago was talking about that such a fabulous little area in the 3rd?
Over on Rue de
He was talking about Rue Port-au-Prince, which runs right off of Rue des Archives, between Rue des Archives and Rue du Temple on the north side, very near the Mairie.
Right.
And then we were talking about the area on the other side of the Mairie where the Carreau du Temple is.
Okay. What was
the kind of north central of the third?
What was the first one called between Rue des Archives and Rue du Temple?
It's one street. It's called Rue Portefeuille.
They have a website. I believe it's hoteldeportefeuille.com.
Okay. Portefoin.
Mm-hmm. It's a redevelopment of an old building and an old apartment about 4 or 5 stories tall with a parking garage next door, directly behind the Fran Prix.
Mm-hmm. And there's another one on Rue Charlot called the Hotel d'Anjou.
Mm-hmm.
So there are several, actually, where they've taken full buildings, they've gutted them completely, the exterior has been left, and the entire interior has been completely reconstructed like new built.
And so these are hôtels particuliers that have been converted?
Not necessarily hôtel particulier, but... yeah, usually they have those kinds of bones.
Yeah.
They can be very expensive to buy into, and I have sometimes found that the construction isn't really all that great on the interior. I know several people who own properties like that in the Marais. But the advantage is, of course, it is new build. So you're not dealing with an old building with old building problems, you know, plumbing and cracks and settling and all that stuff. But you're not going to get, you know, 17th century beams out of them either.
Right. The first one
you get new construction cracks.
Yeah, you get new construction cracks.
The first one was called Porte au Foin or just Porte au Foin?
No, Porte au Foin, Portefoin.
Is that all one word or in two words?
One word.
Oh, all one word.
The hotel, the website is hoteldeportefeuille.com.
Okay. And then, Adrian, you said the other one was Hotel d'Anjou?
D'Anjou, yeah, D'Anjou. It's on the corner of Rue Charlot and Rue Poitou.
Okay. Do they have a website as well?
Probably. It was developed by Codegene,
yeah, they're very, very good.
Do you see many apartments that become available in hôtels particuliers?
About as many as in any other kind of building, because they divide the top.
Yeah, I don't see that kind of a distinction. Sometimes the sources that we talk to will mention that it's in a hotel particulier, but not necessarily. Sometimes those make great apartments. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes apartments in older buildings. We just look at each apartment based on its own merits.
Right. I guess, and this may be a false assumption, I thought that hotel particulier most of the time had really lovely interior courtyards or gardens that you don't.
They are.
Yeah, that's generally true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Adrian, it's Michael Lamonsdorf. I'm from Sarasota, Florida. We have a lot of workers who are currently available, willing to work for less. Is that available in Paris? Now, that's one. Question two is, what happened with your bathtub?
Okay, let's answer question one. Question one is basically, we haven't seen the agents willing to take much of a hit. Because the way property is priced here, it includes the agency commission. The agency commission's over
5%. Sorry, I meant the renovation workers.
Oh, the construction workers?
Yes.
No, there's more work than they know what to do with. We haven't seen anybody hurting, that's for sure.
Because
the agents have a lot of clients coming in from other countries, too. So it's also true on the agency side. They have no reason to change their commission structure.
No, I wasn't asked about that.
We're talking about construction.
We saw our painter in the at the market, and he was desperate and repainted our house for a third of what the bid was 2 years ago when they were unwilling to even come. we're doing all kinds of renovation on the house. So that's up now.
We haven't seen that yet at all. The bathtub, my bathtub has a hole.
Still. Baby.
It does have a hole, but thank goodness the manufacturer has a way of repairing it so it will look like new and I won't have to completely rip it out in my entire bathroom. Thanks for asking, Michael.
Can I get the group wisdom on the best cell phone for a short-term visitor to France?
Oh, probably any rechargeable phone will do. You can buy them for about 50 euros with some time on them, and then you just recharge them as you need them.
Okay.
We use travel.
Just buy the cards.
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
We use TravelCell, TravelCell.com.
Thank you.
Feel good. They send you the phone before you go.
Oh, I never even heard of them. That's great.
Yeah, they're very handy. Then.
Yeah, I was hoping on this call there would be a number of people with different experiences. They could give me the group wisdom on a good phone.
Yeah.
We bought one at Fnac in the past and just recharge it whenever we go back.
Okay.
Hi,
this is really off topic, you guys.
Hello. Hi. This is Elizabeth from Seattle, Washington. And I had
go ahead.
Wanted to get back to a question that somebody had about long-term rentals. They had asked about an apartment along the Canal San Martin, so that might be better as a long-term rental. I was wondering if the laws were different during long-term rentals like that, and if it's something that you rent furnished. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, that's easy. If you rent an apartment unfurnished, then it normally carries a 3-year lease. And apartments that are rented unfurnished, the laws favor the tenants, not the landlord.
That's what I.
If you rent an apartment furnished, even minimally furnished, which there is a minimal requirement, which is like a bed, a table, a chair, and you have a 1-year lease on it, then the laws favor the landlord, not the tenant. I never recommend owning an apartment that you rent unfurnished with a 3-year lease.
Okay. Yeah, I'm thinking that it might be a better way to go to do a longer term lease, but I like that 1-year one that you're mentioning, just because I don't think that I can get over there at this time and take advantage of using it like I should, you know?
You mean you're talking about if you own an apartment,
right?
And then renting it on a long-term basis. But there are lots of people who would also want to rent on, say, between 1 month and 1 year,
mm-hmm.
which we call a midterm rental.
Okay,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Those are hard to find. For renters, those are hard to find.
Okay, so if I had one, then you believe that I would have a good pool of potential renters to select from who would be attracted to my
apartment. Absolutely. The only problem with them is finding the renters. It's almost like a matching site, you know, a match dating site, because you have to match the renter with the availability in the apartment. And there's so little money in it that the agencies just really don't want to handle them. So the people who do best do it on their own and advertise it through Craigslist or VRBO or Franglo, and then have somebody on the ground to manage for them.
Okay, thank you.
Adrienne, this is Bonnie Holcomb in Spokane, Washington. And I have a question.
Okay, Bonnie.
And my question goes away from Paris more to the south of France, where we're interested in fractional ownership, just as getting our feet wet, you might say, in buying property. And I'm wondering if there are any trends that you've noticed on resale for the futures on fractional ownership.
You know, I can't say that I have. I have met with some people, however, who are specializing as agents to handle resale of fractionals.
But it's still a very new concept. And I think that most people who buy into a fractional assume they're going to keep it for a long time.
Right. Yeah, I expect to keep it at least 10 years. And then the resale, depending then, you know, I don't know if we would make money, lose money, or it's hard to say right now.
Well, if you buy into a good property, you should make money on it.
Hopefully, depending on the market, I guess. Would there be a difference between the French SCI and an American LLC?
There's a huge difference. An SCI in France is specifically for property.
Mm-hmm.
You must have two members of the SCI to create it, and you can't really do any business out of it unless, well, then you turn it into a commercial SCI and you're liable for 3% tax every year on it. Whereas an LLC is really just a global, you know, limited liability company.
So an LLC probably is better, you think? You know.
Well, they're two distinctly different things for different reasons.
Well, say non-commercial, totally just personal property.
No. But if you purchase a property in France, you can't purchase it as an LLC. You could purchase it as an SCI. An LLC can be one of the owners of the SCI.
Okay, right.
So an LLC is a U.S. entity.
Okay.
And an SCI is a French entity.
And it's probably easier to do the legal work through an American LLC because it would be local for us instead of traveling to France.
Okay, now I want to know where your question's leading, because if you're talking about creating a fractional.
Mm-hmm. I just want to buy into it, a current fractional, and be just one of the shares. And I've seen one property that's held through an SCI and one property held through an LLC. And I'm wondering if there's an advantage, because both properties look good, which way I should go.
Okay, well, first of all, it would have to be an SCI in France. If it's a French property, then it's held as an SCI.
Okay.
Within the SCI, there are two members. Okay, those two members could be LLCs.
Okay.
Or it would be a homeowners association, and you would be a shareholder in either the LLC or the homeowners association.
Oh, okay.
So I think you should be very careful who the developer is and how they have the structure set up.
Right. Would that be just by looking at the operating agreement?
You should. Just ask for to look at all the papers.
Okay. Well, thank you.
When we're looking at
ads, anybody else?
When we're looking at ads, I see local a velo. What does that mean? I can't find it in my dictionary.
That means there's a place for your bikes.
Oh,
yeah,
exactly.
Ah, okay.
Uh-huh. The bike rack.
It's a bike rack. Oh, thank you.
No, or
a
room.
Could be a bike room.
Their bike.
Could be a bike room. Could be any. But it means that there's a place for your bikes.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you. Well, what kind of mortgage rates are you seeing? You gave us the Euribor rate. Is that what we might see if we approached a bank looking for a mortgage?
John Rule speaking.
Yes,
John. Generally, if you're looking at a variable rate mortgage, then you're going to pay 3 months Euribor, which, as Adrian said, is about 209 right now. And then there's a bank margin that gets added on top of that, which can be anywhere between 1.4 and 1.7%. So call it 1.6, and you're looking at 370 all-in rate at this point.
Of course, that depends on whether it's a fixed or a variable, right, John?
Exactly. I was speaking of the case of a variable mortgage. Which are looking extremely attractive at this point. Both fixed and variable rates have come down, but variable rates have come down more. If you're looking at a kind of a fixed variable combination where you might have the rate fixed for the first couple of years, the rate there is probably closer to 4.25 to 4.5 right now.
Is this a good time to take advantage of a fixed rate, Don?
My personal opinion is that interest rates aren't going anywhere but down. If it stay the same, but I don't think they're going up very far anytime soon, given the weakness in the world economies that we're seeing. And I think one of the huge benefits of buying or getting a variable rate mortgage in France is that it fixes the payment, and as rates change, the payment stays the same, and it's the term of the loan that changes. So getting in at a current level, you're really going to be able to lock in a low monthly payment, and then down the road, if rates do go up in 2 or 3 years, let's say, you'll maintain that monthly payment, and the adjustment will be just to the term.
And if one were looking for like a 20-year fix, John, what might one be looking at this point?
Well, as I say, there are a plethora of products out there, straight fixed for the first couple of years, 2, 3, 5, 10 years, and then floating. It really depends, but I kind of give you an indication. I would say somewhere around 4.5%.
Okay. Thank you.
Listener here.
Hi, listener here.
A slight comment about rates. When we got our loan, got a 10-year variable rate, 2006, 2007. And at that point, they predicated the length of the loan on the age. So if I was near 70, so they only gave us a 10-year loan. People are younger, they may get a longer rate, probably considering that they figure the person will live long enough.
Well, it has to do with life insurance.
Yeah, but it also had to do with age.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's because after the age of 70, the life insurance premiums became rather prohibitive.
Yes.
That's the reason that they put a 70-year limit on it. But we've seen that changing. They're a lot more flexible these days.
Really?
John, maybe you can add something to that?
One more thing about John. If he could speak a little louder or closer to the microphone, he's very hard to hear.
Okay, I'll try and speak louder. And I had you were kind of cutting out a little bit here and there as well, but banks are willing to be flexible. It all kind of comes down to your financial situation and how strong your file is. There are ways of kind of getting around the age limit with a strong file.
Anybody else?
Eric again. On one more thing on a new build and the sales tax. Does a new build, do you normally have to then pay the 19% on top of that, or is that included generally in the market price they're asking?
Well, usually it's just included when they price it out to you.
It is.
I mean, they should. If you're dealing with a company, that's developing a property like that and it's new build, they should be able to outline all your costs.
Adrian, Bonnie in Spokane. I'm curious on France outside of Paris. Do you have any knowledge about the south of France, say the Languedoc-Roussillon area?
Not very specifically, but, the charts I have are showing the Languedoc at the moment is looking down. Montpellier is down 8.8% on homes and about the same on apartments. There's one little pocket in Toulouse that's looking pretty, that's holding its own, it's looking a little strong. But it's one of the areas of the country that has seen, some downturn.
Is that because of just their local economy or foreign?
My guess is that because it has a huge British market there.
Oh, uh-huh.
And the British, because of the weakening sterling, they're just not buying property.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else?
Adrian, Pete Lismer again. On the market down in the Southwest where we purchased, we spent a month there, 2007, looking for areas. There, along the Dodonia, such as quite high, was. Down near Carcassonne and south, quite high. But in the middle, find some areas that haven't been approached by too many English yet. Value is down.
I really think that, you know, it's going to be on a property-by-property, location-by-location basis. I mean, even when you look at the charts on France, you'll see that it's really sort of scattered. The properties that seem to be holding well are the islands, the coastlines are doing well, and more of central Paris is looking down. No, central France. Sorry, central France. I mean, Nice is still showing, you know, increases. Toulon is still showing increases.
A lot of it, too, unless it's absolutely purely for investment, it's really important to think about how long you're going to own the property and if you love the location. You know, there's certain things, if you're going to be buying an investment property here in Paris, then location is absolutely everything. But if you really love a particular rural part of France, you kind of need to weigh how much income you're really going to get for it versus how much you really want to live in that particular little part of the country.
Well, plus how long you're going to own it. If you're going to own a property 10 or 15 years, then this is just a blip along that line. I would like to ask all of you, maybe you'll give me an opinion. I'd like to know what's going on there on the other side of the ocean. How your if your interest in France has waned or not, and what you guys are thinking about for your future.
Well, I'll start. My interest has not waned because of the economy here. I think, like a lot of people, I'm just waiting to see what happens next. And I am concerned about the number of Americans that might be renting apartments. I assume for the most part, you rent the apartments that you manage to our fellow Americans, and I would I have concerns that the rental market might go down.
We I just step in and say that we're not just limited to Americans. We're almost entirely Anglophones, I would say, but we are a bit more diversified than that. We've had a great deal of success actually from Australia. It's kind of funny because their currency has been badly hit. They're continuing to travel, so we're on that stuff.
There's also an exchange of season because they have availability in our winter, their summer. So we've seen a lot of Australians right about now, and from what I've seen, our occupancy for January, February, which is normally a very slow season, has been good.
Well, that's excellent news.
Yeah, because the idea on a rental property is obviously at least to cover your mortgage, if not, you know, do beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but if you buy in now and you get a really good interest rate and your monthly payment is low, then it's a lot easier to cover your mortgage.
That's true. Absolutely. What are some other thoughts from other people on the call?
I'll go next. My name's Elizabeth, and I'm in Seattle, and I've attended one of Adrian's conferences a couple years ago in San Francisco. And I've been dreaming for 10 years about having a place in Paris. I go back and forth between thinking of a spot that would be good for me personally to live compared to
something that's just a short-term rental, and then so I just keep listening to these conference calls. And I think I get a little closer, just inch towards it every time I read Paris Property Insider and your Parlay Pari newsletter. Thank you for being there.
Elizabeth, what do we need to do to get you to actually make a move?
Well, actually, I am not the problem. It's my husband. And unfortunately, he absolutely loves the job and has no intentions of leaving it anytime in the next 5 or 10 years. Oh, there you go.
Well, so buy a property, stay a few weeks a year, and the rest of the time rent it.
Oh, I know. I got to do it. I got to take the plunge. And I think now favors somebody like me who's been sitting on the sidelines just adding to my Paris property pile every month or so.
I agree with you.
Pile is
time to make it happen.
Today than it was a year ago. So enough of me for letting me speak.
Anyone else have some comments to make before we close the call?
I'm hoping to. This is Eric again in Atlanta. Our end goal is just to have a place in Paris to live in for a temporary part of the year with no interest in really renting it. And I understand that you would also be able to provide that sort of service where you check on it, you know, once a week or something and pick up the mail and let us know that everything's okay until we come back again. Is that true?
Actually, Eric, we're pretty much limited. We offer reservation services and concierge services, and we only offer concierge services to our reservation service clients at this point.
Very good.
But you don't need much. Be sure to buy into an apartment that has a concierge or a gardienne.
Uh-huh.
You pretty much get all your mail forwarded to your U.S. address as well, so that's one thing off the list.
Uh-huh.
And you can create automatic debits for all the utilities that you never have to worry about, you know, getting the bills and paying them.
Right. I can handle all that from here online.
Mm-hmm.
Eric, how much of the time are you considering living there?
Our goal is to live there 6 months of the year and to stay here in Atlanta for the other 6 months because we really adore Atlanta also.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been in the hotel business for 25 years, and I retired from that, and I really have no interest in all the problems of renting.
Right.
And I really think buy a place that continues to increase in value, that the value of the place itself is enough to justify any kind of return you might get on your investment. You don't necessarily have to rent.
No, that's true.
Have you ever considered going in on a partnership with someone?
We have definitely and pretty much eliminated that. Not because we don't really have any interest in that, but I would rather just lock it up and you know, unlock it when I get back, when I can get back.
As long as you don't tell any relatives. As long as you don't tell any relatives that you have an empty apartment sitting in the heart of Paris.
Be relatives that get the key.
Right.
Well, you'll find you'll have friends and relatives you didn't know existed.
Yeah, where'd you come from? Oh.
Hey, Adrian. This is Michael again. If we were to purchase the apartment that you thought would be the easiest for you to rent, the best return, how much do you think that would cost for a total package, including all the agent's fees and the renovations and the furniture, et cetera?
Oh, I have a feeling that I've got John Rule sitting in front of me, and I have a feeling that his dream apartment would be a 2 or 3 bedroom property on the left bank. Am I right, John? Okay, 2 or 3 bedroom apartment on the left bank. Figure that you're going to have 12 or 13,000 euros a meter for a good property, and you're going to need probably somewhere for like 70 to 100 square meters, depending.
So
a million euros.
A million euros. Okay.
Yeah.
But that's for a big, luscious apartment. I always have to put in my pitch for all the little apartments that are so gorgeous when they're fixed up and they rent like hotcakes. And those are all my little babies, and they're each a little jewel. And they're
but we have a lot of those.
Yes.
But, Mary Ellen, we have a lot of those. And what's missing are the 2 and 3 bedroom apartments on the rental market.
Yes, yes. Even, yeah, definitely a 2 bedroom would be great.
We'll take a two bedroom, Michael.
About the numbers at your convenience, please.
Sure. You know what? Why don't you and I can plan on having a separate conversation?
Okay, thank you.
No problem. We'll just get, just by email, we'll schedule it, okay?
All right, thank you very much.
Okay. It is now past 8 o'clock. I want to thank everyone for joining us. And just so you know, this call has been recorded. We're going to make the recording available on the French Property Insider website. And I will let you know more about that. And I will also run an article this coming week about this call, about some of the things we talked about, and being sure to put in the documentation that I talked about with the web addresses so that you can go back through it if you like.
Thank you, Adrian.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.